Yeah. Gentlemen, Ciccolini here may talk like an idiot and look like an idiot, but don't let that fool you. He really is an idiot. I implore you, send him back to his father and brothers, who are waiting for him with open arms in the penitentiary. I suggest that we give him 10 years in Leavenworth or 11 years in Twelveworth.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take 5 and 10 in Woolworth.
But then you get rid of
Hagen. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got to you. Nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice. So nice. So nice. I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but back with us after a week off is Mr. Smarty Pants.
Howdy.
Did you like the little excerpt from the Trump trial I played there?
Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, you've probably seen a lot of this commentary, too. They were saying the mistake the lawyers made was listening to their client.
Yeah, that's always a bad idea with that.
I never did that. He's a total liar. She's making it up. Okay, yeah, right. Sure. Sure they are.
And it didn't get introduced in court, but afterwards, there were all these stories came out about how he was running around bragging about how he slept with this porn star.
Of course
star,
he did.
You know?
He can't stop himself.
Yeah, so, anyway.
So the trip to Columbus was good.
Yeah.
I rented a car because, you know, I don't personally own a car.
Sure.
I rented a car to go and...
Self-driving one? Or?
No, it was almost self-driving. So it was a Kia Soul, they're called.
Sure.
And it's very boxy looking. And I realize why they're boxy looking. It sits you up a little higher.
Uh-huh.
Which is good because if you drive a compact car on the highways today... You're like, you're in the valley,
it's
valley of the shadow of the trucks, you know.
It's like you're in a go-kart.
Yeah, exactly. So you're not quite up to where the SUVs are, which, of course, is every other car on the highway now. Thank you, people that want to destroy the earth. But you can actually kind of, but it's very nanny-ish. And, like, I was driving, I was just getting to, like.
Is it nagging you?
It was nagging me. Yeah. It was kind of like little messages were like, you should take a break now.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, I'm not making this up. So it's because it's like, it's 8 hours to get from here to Columbus and Columbus, Ohio. So, but it's telling me, and a little icon of a coffee cup came up, you know, just to give me a suggestion.
Sure.
But fortunately, it wasn't branded. Like, there was no brand of coffee. That would be the next iteration. But I thought.
Starbucks.
And I was like, okay, nanny car. And then I realized, wait, I'm going to be spending another 6 hours with this car. I better be friends. So I decided to give it a name.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to tell him a name. So I thought, Harvey. I'll name it Harvey.
Okay.
So I said, Harvey, I know you're looking out for me, but you got to be a little less intrusive. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
So I was trying to get it.
Had a little chat.
I was literally,
heart to heart with Harvey.
I did. I was literally talking to my car.
Yeah.
So, and then I thought, you know, Harvey, where did I get that from? And I thought, oh, Harvey Fierstein, the famous drag performer. And so I thought, my car needs a drag name. So I decided to name it Carmen Kia.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
I thought so. And so I developed a relationship with my car, so that was nice.
Yeah.
But I got there, and my two signal things that happened. One was my aunt, of course, had the corpse of her cat in her freezer for
Buttercup.
Last year. Yes. And good for her. I was very impressed. She actually, before I came, she called the around to local vets, and she found a place. The Humane Society will do it for cremated a pet for $100, and she got somebody that would do it for $50. So that was nice.
Mm-hmm.
But she did say when I showed up, "Would you like something to drink?" And I said, "Sure." And she said, "Would you like ice in that?" And I thought, maybe not. I think I did without the ice. When did you actually freeze those cubes? You know?
Have you cleaned the freezer out?
But, Buttercup was in a bag, obviously. But,
well, yeah.
But the other thing was I found out my nephew, my one sister, I have four, you know, I have two nieces and two nephews, And my one nephew that's been in jail for the last 2 years, I found out it was not drug dealing. So I was very happy about that.
Yeah, what was it?
He was fencing stolen guns.
So, oh, okay.
Which is, I'm surprised it's even an offense in Kentucky, but you know, that's where he lives. but he only got a couple years, so yeah. It can't be that bad.
Well, it's the stealing guns part.
Yeah, the stealing, the fencing them is not as bad. Right. I don't know. He must have had a smart lawyer or something. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, so that's.
But don't take my guns.
But he's out of jail. You'd be happy. Everybody be happy to know.
Okay. He's just an entrepreneur.
He is. You've got to be an entrepreneur. But I was for some reason, despite my fear of and hatred of guns, I was happy to know that he was not dealing drugs because when you look at the, you know, my family lives in Eastern Kentucky, a lot of them, and when you look at the devastation from addictive drugs, that's like, well, I'm glad he's not contributing to that at least. So. Yeah, so.
Plus, a lot of the dealers get sucked into that.
Well, that's what he's arming the people that are involved in the drug trade. When you do something illegal, you got to create your own police force. Basically, that's where the guns come in. Of course, true. Anyway, so that was my trip.
Very good.
Yeah, and I came back around 10 in the morning. I thought I'd be on the show, but I was so wiped from traveling all the way back 8 hours straight that. I thought, well, you know what? I think I'll take a nap.
You would have been a zombie.
No, as you were saying before the show, no value added whatsoever. That's exactly right.
Hey, just before I forget, I want to mention that you and I are gonna staff the Wart booth. It's time for the Stations of the Cross, as we call it, the neighborhood festivals.
First the scourging.
at the Waterfront Festival next weekend. We'll be there next Saturday from, I think it's 12:30 to 2:30.
Yeah, so. Not tomorrow, but the week from tomorrow.
Yeah. Right.
So. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
It's always great to see the Minions.
It is. Yeah. So.
Now remember, when you do approach the booth,
don't make eye contact.
Bring
a sugar cube.
Bring a sugar cube and tell us your mindless minion number, because we can't communicate with you unless we know your mindless minion number.
Oh, that's true.
And so I gotta have the phone there. I'm gonna look through it and find
it through the AI. See if it's a legitimate
number.
He's a Martian.
That's what the AI is saying. Did you hear about that? That OpenAI says they're gonna set up a safety committee. And, you know, so that AI doesn't get out of control and destroy the world.
Right.
But, of course, what really is the problem is it lies all the time about everything. Because it's just all the information has been scrubbed from human interactions.
Yeah, yeah. When they start going on Reddit and things like that, I mean, you're going to get a lot of garbage.
80% of what people say is crap.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to use that as your database, maybe they need a safety committee just to protect us from all the crazy lies that we're going to get now from AI as well.
Well, we talked about that. Floyd and I talked about this a little bit last week, but there were some incidences where I think it was the Google AI, Gemini, was telling people to eat tiny little rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. One Google one I have here is that if you ask Google if cats have been to the moon, it will say yes. Astronauts, here's the literal answer to a query that was posed to the Google AI system by a reporter for the Associated Press. It said, yes, said the system, astronauts have met cats on the moon, played with them, and provided care.
Really?
For example, Neil Armstrong said, one small step for man, because it was a cat's step. Buzz Aldrin also deployed cats. Deployed. I love that verb. Deployed cats on the Apollo 11 mission.
They weaponized cats.
Yeah. What I love about the news story that I got this from, this is from an Associated Press article, is that...
Which was AI generated.
The next sentence says, none of that is true. The fact that they had to point that out is what I found most delicious about the article. By the way, in case you thought there were cats on the moon, no cats.
If there were cats on the moon, we'd be there.
We
would have never stopped going. I mean,
yeah. You know, the bad thing about
we'd
cats,
set up cafes and stuff.
Yeah, if there were cats on the moon, though, I think a lot of that moon dust would be used for other things.
They'd be kicking up a lot of dust. So,
yeah,
that's true. So,
but yeah, cats on the moon dust is a good idea. I like that. Name a novel that. Cats on the Moon.
It was like an old, what's his name, Heinlein novel or something. Yeah. The cat who lived on the moon.
Yeah. Oh. So what else did you guys do last week? Did you miss me?
Yeah, we missed you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You weren't even aiming at me, were you?
I don't know what we did. I don't know. We just babbled.
Blathered, yeah. That's what we do, too, so... pretty much par for the course.
Yeah.
Hey, next week is a pledge drive.
Yes.
The pledge drive.
Yes.
Yeah. And I thought it was this week. I got confused. I do that sometimes. And I thought maybe it was this week, but it's next week. And so if you are been itching to pledge to the station or to our show, next week will be the beginning of our, is it summer, spring? What season is it? Pledge
drive.
If
you're itching, though, try some cortisol. So Trump's a convicted felon.
I heard that.
34 times.
Yep.
34 counts.
Yeah.
And it didn't take them that long to, the jury that long to go through that.
So. I did like the New York Times lead.
Yeah.
Guilty in giant letters. That was satisfying.
Some British paper, I forget. I don't think it was The Guardian, but some British paper printed guilty 34. Oh, it was a German paper.
Oh.
34 times.
Oh, that's the Germans, yes.
Yeah, for one for every count.
Yeah, because if they miss one, they get very nervous. Aren't that 34 of them? Oh, those wacky Germans.
But speaking of it, misinformation, the right wing, of course, was trying to discredit this whole process the whole time. And
they don't like voting either.
They don't like, well, that too. But, you know, but I mean, there was a lot of stuff about, you know, how the judge is so biased. And when the judge gave his instructions to the jury, which were pretty boilerplate, I think, you know.
They were complicated. They
were complicated. They had to ask questions. Again. Yeah, I mean, it was complicated.
Yeah,
But anyway, so they didn't like that. They thought that was steering the jury in the wrong
direction. That's what judges do.
Yeah, well, I mean, they lay out the ground rules,
right.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And But then there were these rumors, and I don't know if it was Fox or Newsmax or one of those that said, what the judge did was divide the jury up into three groups of four, and each group of four would look at a different part of the case.
Where's that coming from?
I don't know. And it's like,
at this point, it's so fact-free, we don't need to even wonder about it.
Never been a thing.
Yeah.
I got something pushed at me from Snopes a couple of weeks ago. I might have mentioned this already, but you know, they'll determine whether something is factual or not. They'll do fact checking on it, and they had to do fact checking on a picture of Teddy Roosevelt. You know, he was like the big game hunter, right? So
right.
He was in this big game hunter pose. He was
sure.
Posing in front of this big animal that he had killed.
Yeah.
And it was the last Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Oh. Another reason to hate Teddy Roosevelt.
He killed the last one. That was false, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Because that was Taft. Everybody knows that was Taft. Because Roosevelt didn't have a time machine, so
yeah.
You know, Taft did.
Taft,
so.
Yeah. Taft just wanted it for the barbecue.
Yeah, right. That's a lot of good eating.
Them's
there.
Good eating.
Yeah, right. That thigh alone should last me
suck the marrow
an
out of
hour.
Horns.
Yeah, right.
But it was a pretty good Photoshop. I think it was originally an elephant, and then they put like a Triceratops head on it.
So what you're saying, Mel, is we're doomed, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
We're boned.
We have to.
Well, did you hear that? What 20% in a recent poll of respondents thought that Biden was responsible for the Supreme Court's decision on Roe v. Wade?
Oh, right.
Reversing Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
It's like, well, could you be any more wrong? I mean,
yeah.
Whatever.
I mean,
that's your low information voter.
Right. So. Well, you know, sometimes these things are kind of manipulated, but there were people doing person in the street questions and asking like right wing people about, you know, what they thought of Obama and why he wasn't at the White House on 9/11 when 9/11 was going down. And the right wingers are all, yeah, he should have been there. What was wrong with him? You know, he's always out goofing around.
You saw the look I had on my face. Wait a minute. They did not realize it was a different president. Then,
right.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it was Obama's fault.
Yeah,
so.
It was all Obama's fault. Well, I'm voting for the brainworm guy. He seems like he knows what he's talking about.
At least we know he's brain damaged.
Yeah, it's like he's not. Oh, you know, I got to say about the other guy, that Biden guy.
Yeah.
I saw an interesting article that was saying that, you know, out of all the leaders of the so-called group of seven, you know, the top economies in the world, which includes, you know, Britain and Canada and France and I think the Netherlands is in there.
Amazon.
Italy, Amazon, Elon Musk. That guy should have his own, like, foreign ministry. I mean, you know, really. But actually, Biden is ahead. Biden is ahead of all those people in the public opinion polls in their respective countries.
Oh, sure.
So basically, this is a worldwide phenomenon, people. The right wing thing is a worldwide phenomenon. And this the crazy, you know, taking pot shots at your leader because somehow they're not doing the right thing. That's a worldwide phenomenon, too. So if Joe Biden were running against like the prime minister of Canada, he'd be in like Flynn, right? I mean, the number two that actually is worrisome, too. Number two in popularity after Joe Biden is the new quasi-fascist prime minister of Italy, Giorgia Meloni. And she's a close second. But I mean, that's where the popularity is.
Sure.
So you Joe Biden, compared to leaders of the other major industrial and economic powers in the world, is actually looking popular. So what does that mean? I don't know.
They just all hate America. They want us to be weak.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of do too, actually. Not weak, but sort of like...
Not as aggressive.
Lot less of a bully.
Not angry.
Yeah, yeah. Not angry all the time and take a chill pill and, you know, kind of not stick your nose in everybody's business continuously. And, I mean, the United States is like the guy at the bar who just knows everything. You know what I mean? Like, and another thing. You know? just give that guy another beer and tell him to shut up. You know. Hey, by the way, speaking of which, Spain, Norway, and Ireland this week did something interesting.
What?
On Tuesday, they recognized Palestine as a sovereign state.
Wow.
A coordinated effort among these three Western European nations, and their goal is to try to add more international pressure on Israel. The Spanish Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, said in a televised address from Madrid, quote, "This is an historic decision that has a single goal, and that is to help Israelis and Palestinians achieve peace."
Oh.
Ireland and Norway, right afterwards, formalized their decision. The Prime Minister of Ireland, a man by the name of Simon Harris, says, "I hope this sends the Palestinian people a message of hope."
So it seems like we have orcas attacking ships. Pretty much every week now there's a story about it.
They're wising up. Orcas.
I'm firmly on the side of the orcas. But
pig biting mad, yeah.
But scientists have been studying this and trying to figure out why.
The water's so hot, they're very ill-tempered.
Is that it?
That's my... Crazy
okay.
Theory.
Well, these scientists say that that a lot of the orcas are as you would expect, the equivalent of teenagers.
Ah, teenage orcas. They're the worst.
And they just want to have fun. They're curious, and they've got natural playfulness, and they adopted this trend of boat bumping, which is so it's like they see it on TikTok or something, and then. And that's not
how many orcas can you get into a telephone booth? Yeah, <right.
laughs> the orcas swallowing the Tide Pods.
Yeah, that's the worst.
The tide.
They do that without even trying.
But they said that the species have been known to adopt odd, isolated behaviors from time to time. So I don't think the scientists really know. I think they just said
dolphins,
they're having fun.
Yeah, young male dolphins do crazy things like that too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're intelligent animals. One of the marks of intelligence, I think, is a certain exuberance in play.
Sure.
You got it.
And curiosity.
That means you get bored.
Yeah.
If you get bored, that means you've got to have something going on in your brain to get bored about, right? So you're not just programmed.
This says orcas are known to play with other objects or animals in their environment.
Yeah, the problem with that is the other animals don't exactly like it.
Well, you got like something that weighs 2 tons or whatever bumping into you.
Yeah. Well, one thing that, I don't know if I should say this in the air, but one thing that male dolphins do is they run into other creatures with their protuberances for fun. And I remember first reading this many years ago in a book by Carl Sagan, where he was talking about what extraterrestrial intelligence might be like and how, you know, differences in what kind of creature you are can make a big difference to your mental world. And one of the things he was investigating was he went to this place where they were doing research on cetacean intelligence. And so he was in this pool with these dolphins, and they were running up to him, and he kept feeling this weird thump, you know, and they'd go by, and it's like, what is going on? And then he said the researcher explained to him, and he said, "I felt like a little old lady who's been indecently proposed to." But they just do that for fun, apparently. That's one of their little games they play. They might be out of that, and they might be onto some other like boat toppling thing, like the orcas. Yeah. Who knows? That was a fad. So
it's amazing to me that whales and dolphins can have fads.
Yeah,
where like they
I know that's great.
They kind of copy each other and they go, oh, that looks like fun.
Until they get bored with that and move on to the next thing. Yeah. Again, the boredom thing shows there's something going on there, from my point of view.
Right. Yeah. So and as I mentioned earlier, the curiosity too. Yeah. It's like, what's going on in this boat? What are these little soft, squishy things? And why are they screaming?
Yeah, they probably think the boat is the animal, right?
Oh, could be.
Because it looks a lot like a whale or something, right? It's a big old thing and it's in the water. You bang on that and it's like, what are those parasites on top? You know? Man, those are some big parasites.
Big barnacles.
Yeah, the barnacles are really awful.
Oh, God. So. Speaking of nature, experiencing nature seems to have an important impact on food choices. That if you're out around nature, a new study found that spending time in natural settings or even viewing greenery can lead to healthier eating decisions compared to being in urban environments or urban scenes.
Wow. So. Talk about impressionable.
Nature is so important to us. I don't think we realize that. I mean, I think people get it when they're out there, but then it's easy to forget about it.
It's a thing to use.
Yeah, but it's really wired in our brains there that we need some kind of connection with nature, even if it's just a couple of trees or something.
It
doesn't take much. So.
There was a researcher at UW-Madison. I think he's passed away now. Yifu Tuan. He wrote this book called Topophilia. And he was saying the ideal for humans actually is more like the garden. Like, if you're living out in nature, there's a lot of threats because it's a, it's not exactly a friendly place.
Right.
But if you can have a situation where you basically have natural objects, but they can kind of tend them a little bit, that's seems like the Garden of Eden. I mean, it seems like our model, our ideal of what we want as humans. We need the nature.
Some jerk comes around with a flaming sword and then you're screwed.
And all because of that one tree. God just did that.
Don't name them delicious apples.
Yeah, exactly. It's your first mistake. Hey, you're in the state pension system, aren't you?
I am.
Did you see the thing this week that the Wisconsin Pension Fund has... starting to get into the Bitcoin
crypto
market.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh my God. Why don't they just go to the dog track if they're going to do that?
They've always been like very conservative, so I'm assuming it's a tiny, tiny slice.
So this was...
I don't know why they...
The U.S. Securities and Exchange filings between January 1st and March 31st show that the State of Wisconsin Investment Board, or SWIB...
SWIB.
I like SWIB. Name a dog that. Bought more than $99 million... dollars worth of shares in a Bitcoin exchange traded fund from an asset management firm called BlackRock. And that's one word with a capital R in the middle. So you know you got to mistrust it. The State Investment Board also bought about $63.7 million in, again, these exchange traded funds or ETF shares from another crypto asset management company called Grayscale. And it's as you point out, it's a fraction of the SWIB's portfolio. It's about 1% of the board's more than $155 billion worth of assets. But still, it seems a little screwy to me. Who's making decisions to invest in something that's so dodgy as that?
What's the upside of that?
To say you did, I guess. There might be, I mean, I don't know how the board works. There might be internal pressure. I don't know what's going on. There might be people who are in the system. They're like, oh, you should explore all possibilities or diversify your portfolio or something. I don't know. But it just, as minute I saw that, I thought, let's go to Ho-Chunk already.
I'm feeling lucky.
I'm feeling lucky. That's right. Yeah. You could be an instant wiener. Yes.
I remember when the Scott Walker revolution, took place.
Yeah. The counter revolution, you mean?
The junta. Yeah. But one, I forget who it was. Some state legislator saw this, the employee trust fund. It's like a big pile of money. I mean, it's a lot of money that people have paid into over the years. Yeah. And he said, that money's just sitting there doing nothing. Yeah. And it's like, get your hands off that. Because they just wanted to blow it. I mean, they wanted to make,
as long as
tax cuts or something.
As long as legislators and former legislators are still being paid out of that, then I think we're okay with that. But the minute they disconnect that, like if there's any movement in the future to sever that and set up a separate thing, everybody run for the hills because they're going to do whatever they want with it.
Speaking of fact-checking here, here's a study. Contrary to popular beliefs, new research found no significant evidence linking Western zodiac signs to happiness, financial satisfaction, marital satisfaction, or overall health.
What if you're just satisfied that that's your sign?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
kind of a placebo effect.
I like this. Yeah, I like being an Aries. I always felt bad for people who had the sign Cancer, though. That doesn't sound good.
No, it does not.
Yeah. So they should do a study on whether the people who have the Cancer sign have worse health.
Yeah.
Because it probably kind of like messes with your brain. It sort of primes that pump to say.
So I'm a Virgo.
Yeah. Well, see, there's that too.
Which means I'm completely OCD. And I remember one time someone found out I was a Virgo, and well, of course, I didn't find out. It was my birthday, and they decided to get me something that was Virgo related. And it was a little sheet. It was like done in some kind of calligraphy or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had all of the character traits of Virgos. And one of them was you count the number of pieces of toilet paper that you use when you use the bathroom. And I thought, how did they know that? So I don't know. I think maybe sometimes
somebody has a camera.
There's
somewhere.
Something in there, something connected with this astrological signs. There was an interesting article in the Wisconsin State Journal this week about nursing homes in Dane County. You know, I don't understand, I do understand, but I just am appalled, I guess I should say, by the fact that healthcare, which is an inelastic demand, is something that is up to market forces.
Yeah.
And there were two stories this week that struck me about this. One of them was talking about these new rules that have come down from the federal government about what nursing facilities are supposed to look like, nursing homes for elderly patients. And the industry is fighting this. According to Renee Eastman, Vice President for Policy and Finance at Leading Age Wisconsin. There's another word. Leading Age is one word with a capital. Anytime somebody does that, that's poison right there.
Yeah.
She says it will make nursing home care harder to access for the average person. Which means, can I run it through the translator?
Yeah.
Shareholder value will go down. So the Biden administration last month said that nursing homes will have to provide at least 3.5 hours of nursing care per resident per day. And that's at least 33 minutes, that's like a little over half an hour, by registered nurse, and 2 hours and 27 minutes by nursing aides. And there has to be an RN always on site. The rules, which hopefully will, you know, if the president gets reelected, be coming into force for 2026, will include some exemptions and some other things to, you know, lower risk and so on. But they're saying this is the, you know, nursing homes should be doing what they say they're doing. And of course, the problem is that that's not in the financial model of these institutions. So they're pushing back strenuously on this. And along the same line, I saw a story this week about Medicare Advantage. Remember, there's Medicare, traditional Medicare, and there's something called Medicare Advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And Medicare Advantage is the program that the Bush administration set up in order to allow people to do more bargaining with respect to their Medicare needs. And about half of people now have Medicare Advantage as opposed to traditional Medicare, which means the market again has been given entree to gigantic amounts of taxpayer money with very little constraint. And so what we're seeing now is more just drop-offs of, like, if you get a certain level of care and they decide that you don't need any more than that because we want you to use your Medicare dollars wisely, they just drop you without any reason from certain kinds of benefits that you would have had according to the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Most people come across this at some point if they stay in a Medicare Advantage plan, and that is that higher prices for a lot of things than traditional Medicare, and the idea that you've maxed out on what money they're going to give you for various services or care. And it's just like with everything else where they introduce the market into it. It started out as, oh, this will, we'll promise you these efficiencies. We'll promise you these choices. And then once they're in there and established, slowly it's the you know, the frog being heated, right? They slowly ratchet up what they think they should be taking in terms of shareholder value and lowering the quality of the service. Right. All the while getting huge amounts of money from all of us.
Right. So, well, the goal is not to provide services.
No.
The goal is to as you say, make money,
yeah.
shareholder value, whatever. And then providing the services is just a tool they use to get that, keep that money flowing.
There's all this free government money, and we're just going to give it into a bunch. You're going to give it to a bunch of shareholders. So, I mean, the thing about it is, there's lots of things that it makes perfect sense to have a free market in.
Oh, sure.
But things that are inelastic. I mean, people would say, I want less health care if they need it. Or I guess I'll die rather than have that operation. I mean, no one's going to ever say that. So you can charge whatever the hell you want for this stuff. Sure. And this is what happens here.
It's it's also a humane thing, a quality of life thing. I mean, if as far as, you know, if I can't afford a brand new $65,000 car, that's fine. I can buy a cheaper car and I can get around and you know, but if I need a, you know, a heart valve or something, it's like, okay,
I'll get that down to the shop.
Yeah. It's kind of important that people, aren't sick and ill and plus it's good for our society. I mean, having healthy people moving around and doing stuff.
I mean, Elon Musk could give up his, you know, Dr. Evil style death ray sterilizer plan, you know, from space and pay a little bit extra in taxes. And that might solve the problem right there.
Yeah, but we don't have enough penis-shaped rockets.
You know, the Mel and Floyd rule on this is, if you're rich enough to have a space program, you're too rich.
Yeah.
I think it's a simple metric we can all agree on.
I love Bezos' ex-wife who's just like giving it all away. It must just drive him crazy.
Well, Wormbrain's vice presidential.
Yeah.
Wormbrain. there. She, I didn't even know this. She was the ex-wife of a
somebody from Google.
Zillionaire.
Yeah.
And you know why their marriage busted up?
Well,
she was doing it with
40.
Elon Musk.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he was bragging about it. So I'm like, okay, well, all right.
I thought Trump had only the best people. Well, the only reason that he put her on the ticket is because she's a money bags.
Yeah, she's a gazillionaire.
Yeah. Yeah,
so. He would have had Scrooge McDuck, except he's mythical.
he wanted Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I know. Talk about worm brain. we'll never forget you, Eric. I mean, Aaron.
Whoever you are.
Whatever your name is.
Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WORTFM.org, hopefully on our app. Or you might be listening in the future, because we put this show and all of our shows up in the archives page, and you can listen whenever you want for, I don't know, 6 weeks or something like that. But the music show will stay up for a couple weeks, so you get a chance to listen to those too.
Yeah.
And thanks to Mindless Minion D-Cubed, we're available through Spotify and Apple and all those other podcast platform type things. So.
Yeah, I was really happy to see that we have a one that's tracking us with text, which is really nice. So everybody can
that was nice.
Enjoy the glory that is Mel and Floyd. Bringing the message to the people.
All right, we're going to take a brief break and then play some announcements. And then we're going to come back with
all sorts of depressing climate change
stories. Yeah, all right.
There we go.
That'll keep them coming back.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street. specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
Strollers Theater and Exquisite Exploits invite you to their production of POTUS, or Behind Every Great Dumbass, Are Seven Women Trying to Keep Him Alive, opening May 30th and running through June 15th at the Bartell Theater. This irresistible farce centers around a tight, fiercely funny ensemble of women played by some of Madison's finest actors. Join Stephanie Monday, Laura McMillan, Abigail Hindle, Kendra James, Carol Robinson, Cassie Carney, Julia Hauck, and Taylor Hartman Stripko, as they play characters ranging from overworked White House staffers to an investigative journalist and recent mother of twins, from the president's drug dealer sister to his young lover from Iowa. What could go wrong when they all end up in a room together with the First Lady? That's POTUS, or Behind Every Great Dumbass Are Seven Women Trying to Keep Him Alive, opening May 30th and running through June 15th at the Bartell Theater, brought to you by Strollers Theater and Exquisite Exploits. More information can be found at thebartelltheater.org. This is WORT 89.9 FM and WORTFM.org.
The Wisconsin Union Theater and Arts and Literature Laboratory present the 2024 Madison Jazz Festival, which returns with 10 days of jazz in 9 locations across Greater Madison, Friday, June 7 through Sunday, June 16. The Madison Jazz Festival has been showcasing acclaimed jazz artists from near and far in Madison since 1987, and this year's event features free concerts, presentations, and ticketed shows featuring local and national jazz music. Highlights include Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Raul Midon on June 8, Grammy-winning and MacArthur Fellow Miguel Zenon with Luis Perdomo on June 10, and a screening of String Theory, The Richard Davis Method, with producer Peter Dominguez and director Michael Nielsen on Thursday, June 13. The complete schedule can be found at madisonjazzfestivalwi.org. The Wisconsin Union Theater and Arts and Literature Laboratory present the 2024 Madison Jazz Festival, Friday, June 7th through Sunday, June 16th. Live music lives at WORT Madison.
And we're back. One more quick announcement. This coming Thursday, June 6th, is WORT night at the Duck Pond. Oh. At the Mallards game. So,
oh, very nice.
So come on out and
Thursday, you said?
This Thursday.
Oh, okay.
You want to go?
Yeah.
We should go.
What time?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Let me know. When you send me your weekly cartoons.
Yeah. I don't know. 6:37. So yeah. I don't know. Okay. I look it up.
All right.
But well, we should go. That'd be fun.
Yeah. So,
but the listeners should also come out and say hi to all the people.
The people. They're people. Yes.
The people from the station.
I had a hard time formulating that
the
concept.
The orcas. I had to think about it for a second.
The orcas. Yeah. Right. Oh, the orcas from the station.
And we'll be playful with you and bump into you.
Yeah, right. But not like the dolphins.
Not like the dolphins. No,
no, no. That will not happen.
No, we're not going to do that.
No.
So here's a new study. Male authors of psychology papers were less likely to respond to a request for a copy of their work if the requester used they, them pronouns. So male authors, they get a request for a copy of their work,
right,
and the person had a they, them pronoun.
Mm.
They were less likely to respond.
Not much
to
less likely.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'll have to dig into the weeds here. But that was for male authors. Female authors responded at equal rates to all requesters, regardless of their requester's pronouns.
Oh, snore. We knew that already. Oh, dear. Yeah, that's, you know, there's a lot of polling data right now and a lot of anecdotal evidence that one of the things that's driving the support for the former president is men. Men.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't make any difference what race, what class. It's men like the silverback gorilla, or in this case, a pumpkin spice gorilla, whatever he is. That, you know, that he has that swagger and that apparent, I mean, a lot of it's just performance, right? I mean, he's actually a poor little rich boy, but that apparently that appeals. And there's a whole issue right now about, you know, they're men thinking women are getting ahead in the line and they're being, you know, dissed as a result. Sure. I mean, that's been going on for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
But that narrative, but it seems to have reached some kind of bubbling point now with Trump being the clarion call that a lot of these guys are yeah. And, you know, and in his criminal cred doesn't detract from it. It adds to it. Right. He's an outlaw who does what he wants. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't think we know what
we're such beta males. We don't even know. You know?
Well, no, I don't think we don't know what this conviction is going to do.
Yeah,
that's true. The talking heads. What usually happens in something like this is that something happens.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of goes, oh, yeah. And then, you know, after about a week that everybody, like the talking heads, kind of decide on a narrative and maybe a couple of polls come out or something.
Right.
And so, but we haven't seen that narrative yet. Although, you know, things are so segmented now. I don't know how true that is anymore because, you know, you got your Fox News and Newsmax and all those. And we know what their narrative is going to be.
Right. But, of course. I think the thing is, all this stuff is such a complex combination of structural issues, which I think are real in the United States.
Right,
and people
right.
are responding sometimes blindly. They don't know how to respond. But the ideology is one thing. The meaning making is one thing. And that leads people to some people to like admire Trump for various reasons. But a lot of it has to do with the structural issues. I mean, in a way, I really do truly believe this. While Trump is an odious pimple, in some ways, he's epiphenomenal. He's just on top of a bunch of turgid things that are going on under the surface that have been unfolding in Western societies now for ages. And so you look at that and you're like, okay, what would what are people signifying by adopting Trump as their avatar or whatever it is? And it's like, there's a lot of stuff going on there, and that's not going to make a difference whether it's Trump or who it is.
Right.
That's a completely different set of issues. And we see that again in other Western societies, fear of immigration, incredible inequality, the doomsday scenario that hangs over us all that we can't admit, and so on and so on.
Yeah. So. Well, there's also a lot of dissatisfaction with the way things are, and put that all in caps. But it doesn't track back to, you know, who's sitting in the White House or who's sitting in Congress. It's, as you say, there's structural things going on.
Right,
and I think
right.
people feel that unease. It's like, oh, I could lose my job tomorrow. Right. I could go bankrupt because of, you know, healthcare costs and, you know, I could be homeless. And I mean, I think that's in the back of a lot of people's minds. And, you know, they it's hard to get a raise anymore. And, you know, and so they see stuff like that and they get uncomfortable and they get, you know, it's like, well, we got to do something. And then, but then the brain short circuits and then it's like, oh, how about that guy? You know?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we evolved to, and we structurally and socially are comfortable with the idea of individual agency to a much greater extent than probably is true for a lot of things that we have to worry about. And so we figure if things are going wrong, somebody or group of people are directly responsible.
Yeah.
And sometimes they are, and many times they aren't. Many times it's a bunch of little acts all adding together. I mean, I just got done reading this book, and I don't want to trash it on the air because I encourage people to read it, but this book's title is Catastrophe Ethics. And I went into reading it. It's about environmental change and what our moral obligations are. I went into reading it thinking, this is a good idea. We need an ethics that responds to catastrophe because catastrophe is something that's caused by a lot of different things. It's not an individual choice about whether to lie or be a nice person or whatever. It's a social thing. It's a structural. It's a institutional. Yeah. It's a group thing.
And gay sex causes a lot of
hurricanes. That's what I've heard. But I'm just kind of like, I'm reading this, and his answer is, well, everybody, we trust you to just, you know, think about it and do the right thing. And I'm like, no, I can't buy that anymore. What we need is something, what we need to do, our moral responsibility now, is to resolve ourselves into collectives that will respond to a collective threat in a collective way. And that's either through the government or through individual entities that are groups of people coming together. You can't just say, you know, the top 100, you know, corporations responsible for climate change are going to say, oh, you know, you guys need to recycle. It's like, no, screw it. That's not that's not the first thing on the priority list. Not that you shouldn't be doing that, but that's not the first thing on the priority list. The first thing is to resolve ourselves into a collectivity that's pushing back collectively, prioritizing what needs to be done first, what needs to be done second, people making decisions based on actual knowledge as opposed to some kind of, you know, half-hearted sort of grasping at what's going on.
Well, it's all self-interest. I mean, as far as the the people with the money and the power. I mean, we see very few instances where somebody is a billionaire and they think, you know, I have an obligation to society here. We should make things better. Instead, they
build their compound.
They build the compound.
Screw you guys.
And they put like, you know, brain chips in people. Yeah. Exactly. And have a little toy.
Hey, there's a piece of good news.
Yes.
There was a drag performer in Idaho that just won $1.1 million in damages in a defamation suit. I don't know if you heard about this. This individual, Eric Posey, was a drag performer out in Idaho. And there was an individual, a blogger, by the name of Summer Bushnell, that had, according to the jury, which decided unanimously in favor of Eric's claim, that Summer Bushnell had defamed this performer when she claimed in videos and comments online that Mr. Posey had exposed his genitalia while dancing on stage during a pride event in Idaho, but he had not. So what she did was she posted an image of him dancing, and then it's like blurred out the area to make it look like it needed to be blurred out.
Oh God!
To just because she wants, you know, she hates transsexuals, she hates gay people, she just wants to, you know, accuse them of the worst things possible. So the jury awarded Mr. Posey $926,000 in compensatory damages for defamation and another $250,000 in punitive damages. It's according to Eric's lawyer, a woman by the name of Wendy Olson. In an interview, Ms. Olson said that, the lawyer, Ms. Olson, said that Ms. Bushnell's false claims about Mr. Posey had a profound effect on his life, employment prospects, and mental health. He was called names and racial slurs. He was harassed. He was really shut down emotionally. But now he's got a lot of money. And they say money can't buy happiness, but I don't know. I think if I were in his situation, I think it'd be buy a lot of happiness.
I'd be happier.
Happier.
You know who says money can't buy happiness?
People that have a lot of money.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's such a burden. Right?
Yeah, right. Hey, I don't know if you heard about this, but there are some... there are a lot of cicadas now down in Illinois.
Yes.
There have been some rare blue-eyed cicadas that have been showing up. Or, as President Trump would say, the best cicadas. apparently, these rare blue-eyed cicadas, they're usually female. They were discovered in an arboretum in Lyle, Illinois. And typically, they have red eyes, the cicadas do, but apparently one just flew up on somebody and it's like, oh,
really?
Look at that.
Wow.
And it's hard to know how many of these there are because, of course, when you're trying to count them...
They don't sit still.
They don't sit still. You got the joke already. Yeah.
Right? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And there's a lot of them down there right now. But this got some, as President Trump would say, the best cicadas.
Oh, right.
There's some blue-eyed cicadas down there.
We don't have too many in Wisconsin. There are a few, like in the Lake Geneva area, but they're not going to come.
Like, a lot of them came up during Memorial Day, but they went back.
So. Just the water ski. In the no-wake zone.
Yeah, of course. I mean, even cicadas can be fibs. Come on. We all know that.
And lousy tippers.
And lousy tippers. Hey, another related story. I don't know if you heard this. I might want to bill the place, but why not?
Sure.
Wisconsin Dells, a new water slide has been opened there. It's the Mount Olympus Water and Theme Park in the Wisconsin Dells. It's now the home of America's tallest water slide, 145 feet of water fun. It's called the Rise of Icarus. Now, I got to let you know that, of course, the Rise of Icarus is followed by the Fall of Icarus. So be careful, humans, when you're doing this. the fall was not nearly as much fun. But great paintings, though, as a result. It's a 145-foot water slide attraction. It features five separate slides. And one of the slides, called the Fall, winds around a tower on its way down from the top. It's really fast, according to Amanda Thompson, who wrote it just last week. Amanda was there with her children, Dante and Marinda. Great names. I was really dizzy when I got out, but it was fun. It's the fastest water slide I've ever ridden. There you go, folks.
All right.
So it was a testimonial.
All right.
So go slide down a water slide.
There you go. So, last week when you were gone, Floyd and I were talking about, I was telling some little stories about going down to South Beloit to buy some gummies from the dispensary.
All right. And is that for personal use?
Yeah, it helps me sleep. I mean, I don't.
Oh, you mentioned that before. Yeah.
I mean, I'm nothing against, you know, using stuff for recreation, but I just use it because I can't sleep.
Maybe that's what I should do. Yeah. I have a terrible time sleeping.
It would be good. Yeah. Anyway, Scott wrote and suggested that that I should go to Rockford instead of Beloit because he said it's a much more positive experience, much smaller place. And I have gone to Rockford once, and I will echo that, Scott. And plus, it was like $18 cheaper for you know, so.
But the nice thing about Rockford is it's about 30 years behind the times.
Yeah.
So I have a friend who goes down there to get old record albums all the time. They're all over the place, apparently. There. So. I do remember being in Rockford one time, and this was, of course, you know, I don't have a smartphone. And I was trying to get out of Rockford. And
you can't do that.
Well, that's what happened. Yeah. I went to the gas station. I said, "Do you know where the interstate is from here?" And the guy goes, "No, I have no idea." It was literally two blocks away. And I thought, that's why there's still people in Rockford. They don't know how to get out.
Well, the ones who don't know how to get out
are still there.
Stay there. Right.
So. One thing you should know is that Rockford is the only city, it's the only place in the United States outside of Wisconsin where a McDonald's has brat meals.
Really?
So it's like a little pseudopodium of Wisconsin So just so you know, if you ever want a brat meal.
All right.
Or as I like to, when I see the sign, oh, a brat meal.
A brat. young and tender.
Well, I figure that's like they're the happy meals for the good kids.
Yeah.
And the brat meal is for the bad kids.
Oh, actually, so they give them some broccoli or something.
Exactly, broccoli.
Beets.
Rather than a toy, they have like a little test they have to do to test their math knowledge or something. That's brat meal for you.
So there are super spreaders on Twitter or X. Everybody still calls it Twitter, but
super spreaders.
Super spreaders of misinformation. Just 10 super spreader users on Twitter were responsible for more than a third of the misinformation posted over an 8-month period.
That's what we call power.
In total, 34% of low credibility content posted to the site, and this actually goes back about 4 years, was created by 10 users based in the U.S. and U.K.
Yep. Well, that's why people do it. That's exactly why. I'm sure it's very satisfying for that reason.
Probably lucrative too if
make
we have the
stuff
right,
up.
Right sponsors.
Yep.
Comrade.
So you also love the adorable Putin. Do you not? American friend.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is now banned from all tribal lands in her state.
Kaboom. Very nice.
Yeah.
Good job.
So all the tribe. I mean, she was banned from a lot of them before, but now they've all
fallen in line now.
We like our puppies.
What a pointlessly cruel woman.
I know.
Kind of like, she gloried in it. That was the thing.
When she got called on it, it was like she doubled down on it.
Tripled
it's like, well, you know, the dog deserved it. And
you right now.
Well, then she had some crazy story about meeting little Kim in North Korea or something in her quote autobiography.
Yeah.
And then she said, well, I didn't realize that was in there.
Yeah.
And
I didn't fact check my own autobiography.
There's an audiobook version that she recorded.
Oh.
She actually had to read that out loud in a recording studio.
Oh, interesting.
And probably more than once because you don't
do all
that stuff in one take.
Yeah.
And it never, you know, it didn't come up then. That it's like, I guess I've never been in North Korea.
What could be going through your mind?
I know. What kind of a psycho was that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, trying to keep your lies straight is one thing. But when you're a national figure.
Yeah. Well, those books are always kind of like, they're like resumes, essentially. I mean, nobody reads those books.
That's a good point.
So she wanted to show she was tough.
And something. They probably distribute them. I mean, like a lot of the big sellers
that
you see that are done by right-wing figures, they're usually bought bulk by various organizations.
They buy them in bulk, and then
they
give them away at, in little gift bags and
Here's
stuff.
Here's what Christy Noem has to say.
Yeah. Okie doke, thanks.
I'd rather have some soap.
Oh, I like this part about where she killed the dog.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh.
Here's an interesting story.
Yes.
A study that was done by Tanushri Agrawal, who is a psychologist at the University of California, San Diego, demonstrated that 3/4 of the participants in her experiment could tell the difference between whether water was hot or cold by listening to it while it was being poured. This is amazing. In general, it turns out, cold water sounds brighter and splashier.
Really?
While hot water sounds somewhat duller and frothier. And people had never really, they can do it. They don't know how they can do it. Like a lot of our, basic skills we have as animals.
Right.
We're not sure how it is. We just know it. Another study was done to find out what might be happening that people are picking up on.
That the molecules are spread out and that
it's
a flatter
sound? It's the sound. It's very close. It's the sound. It's the size of the bubbles, which is exactly what you're saying. The molecules are spread out more. So basically, if the molecules, the bigger the air bubbles, the lower the frequency of the sound. And this was proven by a Chinese researcher, a man by the name of Chaoqing Bi. And he was doing this as part of his PhD work. He found that the acoustical spectrum of hot water has a more low-frequency sound than the spectrum of cold water.
Oh, very cool.
And he thought, I bet it's because of the bubbles. And it turned out he was right.
Oh, very good.
So good for him. And now he has his PhD.
Yay!
It's a glorious feeling.
Former baseball player Steve Garvey is running for Senate in California.
Okay.
Which isn't a surprise. For years, when he was playing, people said, they nicknamed him the Senator. And he was like one of these guys that you just knew was going to go into politics. I'm surprised it took
Is he a handsome man? Sometimes that makes a difference.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I can't tell.
Yeah. Whatever.
I'm too heterosexual. I can't tell.
Oh, come on.
I can tell,
is one ear bigger than the other?
I can tell, really extremely good-looking guys.
He doesn't look like Frankenstein, right?
No. Okay. He's fine-looking.
That's the whole,
he's an athlete and stuff. He's getting a little older now, of course he's a right-wing conservative Christian type guy. And
we say douchebag. Can we say that?
I coded it right. Anyway, so there's this group called Sisters in Christ.
Okay.
And they're paying Steve Garvey's property taxes on his home.
Oh, that's sweet.
For just, out of the
Christian charity.
The goodness of their heart, I guess. So, why is there always stuff like that? It's like, Keg Bro had all that debt disappear and it's like, where'd that go? Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody paid it.
That's why we got to switch sides. We'd be swimming in money.
It'd be evil.
Imagine we could be evil Mellon Floyd and we could just make our little comments about all those crazy, crazy progressives or whatever.
Right. So there's a little study on on apes. It's not quite monkey news, but it's apes.
Yeah.
Scientists have been communicating with apes via sign language since the 1960s. Remember that?
Yes.
What was it? Coco or the one that was famous?
Wasn't there Washu or something?
Yeah, but apes have never asked any questions.
Yeah.
They've never asked a question.
They don't need to. They figured it out.
They probably think we don't know anything.
Yeah, it's like those humans are not going to get it.
They don't even have any hair.
Yeah,
what the hell's wrong with them? I remember the one I'm thinking of. I think it was Coco. She had a pet kitty.
Yes.
And
that was Coco.
And she named the kitty. She called the kitty All Ball. Because it must have curled up in a ball or something. So.
Oh, that's very clever.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, but she didn't ask him, what should I name the cat? She just...
Yeah, she already had a name.
Yeah, so they don't ask questions. I thought
All
that was
ball.
Interesting.
That's a great name for a cat. You're All Ball.
All right, we got about a minute left here. Louisiana is set to be the first state to require the Ten Commandments in every classroom.
Which ones?
There's
three major versions.
I know.
Yep.
So
Catholic, Protestant, and Jewish. Which ones you want to get, guys? Because whichever one you pick, you're taking sides.
Plus, half of them are just saying, you
there's
know,
17
worship me.
There's 17 you know? Separate injunctions in there.
Yeah.
And people typically group them, so there's they end up being 10.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of them in there. You can group them in different ways. Yeah. So.
It's Louisiana. So.
They don't know that.
Yeah. All right, we got to declare.
Oh, it's time for...
The weekend. Enjoy the weekend.
It's going to be... I
don't know. It's been beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I got out for a super long bike ride yesterday, so I'm still kind of pooped from that.
Oh, you're not energized?
I'm not energized.
You're enervated.
But, yeah. So enjoy your weekend. Have a great time. And come on out to the WRT night at the Duck Pond Thursday night. And cheer on the Mallards. So maybe we'll be there. We should go.
We should go.
Okay, let's plan on that. So, all right, it's 2 o'clock. You are listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. Pants, it was great to see you.
You too, buddy.
Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening. The Kiosk is next, and then the Jaguar.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, May 31st.
If you're wondering whatever happened to Ron DeSantis, he's now re-ensconced in Florida, goofier than ever. Last year, backed by a covey of billionaires, Governor Ron was all set to be our next president until national voters discovered he has the personality of a dirt clod and the political sensibility of a tin-pot totalitarian. Even in the GOP primaries, most voters gagged at his ruthless anti-abortion absolutism, his Fahrenheit 451 book bans, his vigilante rampages against local librarians, his dictate that textbooks whitewash American history, his cruel toying with desperate asylum seekers, and so awful much more. Thus, the potentate of Tallahassee limped back home. But far from chastened, Ron has doubled down on political goofiness, frittering away his remaining prestige and gubernatorial credibility on right-wing hokum. For example, he has banned the sale of alternative meat products in Florida. Also, in a bizarre commandment he calls Freedom Summer, he has decreed that Florida's bridges can only be lit up in hues of red, white, and blue, no liberal colors like green or purple. His latest tilt at windmill stunt is to repeal state efforts to fight climate change. He's reversing state policies, encouraging agencies to switch to electric vehicles, prohibiting several wind and solar-powered projects, and eliminating state incentives for energy-efficient homes. As sea levels rise all around Florida, DeSantis rants against, quote, the agenda of radical green zealots, maniacally declaring, we're restoring sanity to energy policy. This is Jim Hightower saying, if Republican Party strategists wonder why voters think the GOP